The U.S. Senate yesterday approved the bipartisan Safer Communities Act, which some supporters are calling the most significant piece of anti-gun violence legislation Congress will have passed in 30 years. Among other provisions, the measure includes money for mental health and school safety programs and requires more background checks for gun buyers younger than 21. Speaking earlier this week, Republican Senator John Cornyn of Texas, one of the lead negotiators of the bill, referenced the mass shooting in Uvalde in his home state.
I've received tens of thousands of calls and letters and emails with a singular message. Do something. Do something. Not do nothing, but do something. Texans are disgusted and outraged by what happened at Robb Elementary, and they want Congress to take appropriate action to prevent the loss of more innocent lives.
The bill also provides money for states to implement red flag laws, which can temporarily prevent people from having guns if they're deemed to be a danger to themselves or others. Another of the main negotiators, Democratic Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut, said on Tuesday the bill takes on the issue that matters the most to parents and families, the physical safety of their kids.
This was a hard road to get to this compromise, but nothing worthwhile is easy. And nobody in a compromise gets everything they want. This bill will be too little for many, it'll be too much for others. But it isn't a box-checking exercise. This bill is not window dressing. This bill is going to save lives. This bill is going to save thousands of lives.
The Senate approved the bill on a 65-33 vote, with all Democrats voting in support, along with 15 Republicans. It's expected to come up for a vote in the House today. President Biden has indicated he'll sign it when it gets to his desk. Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema was another of the bill's lead negotiators. I spoke with her yesterday before the vote in the Senate and asked, given what's in the measure and given what's not in it that some advocates have been calling for, what gives her the optimism she has that this legislation will really make a difference?
Well, I think that's an important question, Mark. The reality is that the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act contains elements in this legislation that will absolutely save lives. Whether it's fixing our background checks to ensure that people who are seeking to purchase firearms don't have a violent or dangerous history, whether it's expanding to ensure that people can't illegally sell or purchase firearms when they're not allowed to do so, or whether it's protecting survivors of domestic violence and reducing the impact of trauma and violence in the home. We know that this legislation will save lives. And frankly, that's something that all four of us who negotiated this package agree on. Even though we all come from, you know, different parts of the political spectrum, we share agreement that this package will save lives and continue to protect the Second Amendment.
In your perfect world, would there have been other things in it? For example, a lot of folks have been calling for universal background checks, have been calling for bans on people under a certain age from buying assault weapons, things like that.
Well, Mark, Arizonans won't be surprised to hear me say this, but I don't live in a perfect world. I live in this world. And so I stay 100% focused on what we can get done to save lives and protect the constitutional rights of all Arizonans. And I'm really proud to say that this package represents the greatest step forward in nearly 30 years in doing both of those things. The investments that our package is making in mental health, whether it be expanding telehealth to rural communities, ensuring that we have mental health providers in schools, you know, just like I used to serve as a social worker at an elementary school in Phoenix, or whether we're ensuring that survivors of domestic violence can get the protection they need to raise their families in a violence-free home. I know that this package is achieving the goals that we all share as Americans. To ensure that families aren't scared about sending their kids to school, that they're not worried about violence in their community.
One of the proposals in this bill gives money to states for red flag style laws. And I'm curious if you think that money is the inability to have resources is the reason why states haven't done it. I mean, Governor Ducey has proposed what he calls stop orders for a few years now, and it seems more of a philosophical opposition among legislators in Arizona than a resource issue.
Well, what we did in our package was actually create funding for every state in the country to use dollars to address crisis intervention. So in some states like Florida, where they have a statute like the one you've just described, they can use these dollars to train folks in the system and to help run that program more effectively. But in places like Arizona, where we don't have a law like that, we do have lots of resources to help people in crisis whenever they're a danger to themselves or others. So we'll be utilizing that funding in Arizona for our mental health courts, for our drug courts, for our veterans courts, to help people who are in crisis and make sure that they have resources and assistance when they're feeling like they might be a danger to themselves or a danger to others.
I'm wondering if the Supreme Court ruling on the gun law from New York, the concealed carry law, does that change your opinion on anything? Does that change the dynamics any in D.C. over this issue?
Well, you know, that ruling that came out today has no impact on Arizona's laws. So to be honest, I'm not paying that much attention to it because I'm staying focused on, of course, what matters to Arizona. But we've already seen broad bipartisan support for our package, the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act here in the Senate. And we expect the bill to gain some bipartisan support in the House. And we expect the president to sign this bill into law very soon.
I'm curious about the conversations you've had with colleagues in the House, because we've seen some top Republican leaders there say they don't support it. Are you confident that it will have enough votes to pass there?
I am confident.
Let me ask you about another issue on the minds of many Arizonans, if I might, and that is gas prices. And President Biden has suggested and called for a temporary suspension of the federal gas tax. I'm wondering if that's something that you would be behind.
Well, you know, I've often said that Arizonans are paying too much at the pump and they're paying too much at the grocery store right now. It's the number one thing that I hear from Arizonans about the stress that's occurring in their daily lives. And that's why I support realistic proposals to actually help reduce the cost of gas and groceries. And one of the ways that I think is a realistic solution to address this issue is to implement our bipartisan infrastructure law so that we're helping get goods out of ports and off ships, off trucks, and into the hands of consumers throughout the state. That's also how we can address issues like gas prices. So that's why I've continued to call for an all-of-the-above energy approach that addresses the fact that we need more domestic production so we can get lower prices at the pump. Now, I am concerned that President Biden's idea to temporarily suspend the federal gas tax won't actually bring down costs in a meaningful way for Arizonans, and it doesn't address the root cause of rising gas prices. Further, I think it could have some unintended consequences that hurt our economy. So I'm going to stay focused on more pragmatic and realistic solutions like the ones I've just described.
All right. We'll have to leave it there. That is Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema. Senator, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Mark.